Okay.
This is Brent Kelly White.
Yeah,
I wrote you about.
Okay, I got you. Now I remember it.
Okay.
Is this? Can I interview you now? Is this a good time?
Sure.
Okay.
Well, what do you think it's going to be?
Well, it depends on how long you answer. You know, maybe 15 minutes, maybe a half hour. You know, the answer's as long or as short as you want them.
Okay.
And if you get tired of talking, just say goodbye.
Fair enough.
Okay. First, let me tell you, I appreciate this. A lot of guys I know don't like to do this, but you, gosh, when I was a little kid, I bought a pack of baseball cards, 1952 cards, and you were one of the cards in the first pack I ever bought. And I don't know why you became a favorite right then and there. You were a Dodger at the time.
Okay, I'll ask you,
I don't know, a dozen or so questions, whatever, and just answer, please, as short or as long as you want. My wife tells me to ask something that she cares about, so she wants to know what your favorite animal is, and then we'll get on to real stuff.
Animal?
Yeah.
Oh, well, we got one right now. We got a little dog, and we like all kinds of animals, but we got a dog.
Okay, I'll tell her.
Okay, let's get on with baseball stuff.
Okay.
You signed in 1948 at an age where a lot of guys don't get a chance to sign. You'd been in college and in the Marines, is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, so that's why you were, 23 or 24, weren't you?
23, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, you just had a cup of coffee in the minor leagues, practically.
Pretty much so, yeah. I signed for the Cubs, and I signed my contract with a stipulation that I would go to spring training with the AAA club the following year. I signed in 48,
mm-hmm.
and that was in the contract. I didn't get any money, but I wanted to be, because I was a little older, I wanted to get a shot at AAA.
Yeah, makes sense.
And that's what happened.
And you did.
Just got shot.
You spent 49 at AAA, or most of 49.
Most of the year there. I came up to the Cubs at the end of the season.
Okay, now, the end of that year, you had 8 consecutive hits, which is the third highest ever by a National Leaguer.
Oh, good. You remember that. How'd you get that? I mean, I had never seen that any place.
Well, I don't know. I heard it somewhere along the line, and when I hear something about guys like you and Ray Boone and Andy Pafko and three or four others are my favorites, and every time I hear something about them, I remember it. So that's how.
Yeah, that's true. That's right.
Do you remember that streak?
Pardon?
Do you remember that streak?
Oh, sure. Are you kidding?
I guess so. Yeah,
I remember one of the base hits went right through Ted Kozuski, and they called it a base hit. I hit it good, but it went right through him. And of course, he was, I think he led the league in fielding that year. They probably gave him a break on the call, but I do recall that.
Yeah, well, he was an awfully good fielder. If it got by, I probably figured it was legitimate. Do you remember who some of the pitchers were you got him off of?
Oh, gosh, no. I sure don't. I can't remember that.
Okay, that was a while back. I project I could probably look it up.
I struck out ninth time at bat, a chance to get the ninth hit. I struck out. I remember that.
Well, it's got in sometime. You took over second base for the Cubs the next year. And every time you played regularly, you were among the leading fielders in whatever league you were in.
I didn't get that.
Oh, sorry. Whenever you played regularly, you were among the leading fielders in whatever league you were in.
I don't know that's true. I mean, I became a good fielder as my career went along, but I don't think I started out that way. I got better.
Okay, so not. I remember later on in Washington, you were, I think, third in the league in fielding at least one of the years.
Yeah, I think 53.
Yeah, that probably was it. Hey, what did you think of the trade to the Dodgers the next year?
When I was with the Cubs, I went to the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was kind of shocked, really, because I didn't think that I'd be leaving the Cubs that soon, and it was kind of a surprise to me, but I was hoping to stay with the Cubs because I liked Wrigley Field and I liked the idea of day ball and the whole thing. But I realized I was going from a last-place club to a first-place club at the time.
Right.
But then again, I also knew that Jackie Robinson was playing second base, so it was kind of a, half-and-half job.
Mixed emotions.
Yeah.
Well, you had, maybe it was Wrigley Field power, but you had a good little bunch of punch there with the Cubs.
I hit 10 home runs that one year.
Yeah.
They told me next year that I should, they wanted me to lead off, and back then the hitting instructors, there really wasn't a hitting instructor. I remember one guy telling me that I should go to right field more. Well, that was it. You know, and I couldn't hit to right field. It was, I didn't have any idea how to go about it. And that was a problem for me, but, and I didn't do much the following year. I was all screwed up. like I said, as my season, my career went along, I got a little better. I finally became a pretty good hitter at the time I quit.
Poor timing. You had some speed.
Not so fast. I was quick.
Quick. Well, you
could jumps, and I knew how to run.
What could you have done back then? Stolen bases were not stressed at all. Would you have been a base stealer, you think, if you'd been playing now?
I could have. You know, I would be up there in the 15-20 thing. I don't think I'd have stole a lot of them, but
okay.
I could steal, you know, probably 20 bases a year. And that is, if I could have got out.
Yeah, first things first. How did the Senators get you?
Get me?
Yeah.
Well, I went to St. Paul. Brooklyn optioned me out to St. Paul, and I, playing part-time there, I had a pretty good year at the bat. I hit .312, and Washington picked me up, bought me from Brooklyn.
Okay. And you stepped right in and had a very good year.
I had a good year the first year with them, 53. Yeah, I did. I had a good year.
You were a regular both years, right?
The second year was kind of strange year. I was a regular in 53, and I expected to be a starter in 54, and it was one of those years, so nobody said anything to me, and all of a sudden, I didn't do a bunch of spring training, and that's a long, sad story, but anyway, it was a lousy year total, so I just kind of trying to forget that one.
It's probably, just on numbers alone, it's the worst year you had.
Yeah, it was a frustrating year for me, but I got a break, and I went to the Giants, you know, after that.
How did the Giants get you?
Let's see, 53, 54, 55, 54. How the hell did the Giants get me? I don't know. They traded somebody for me, and I can't remember what that was, but can't recall that one now.
Something just occurred to me. I didn't have my notes here. In 54, when you were with the Senators, they signed their first bonus baby, Harmon Killebrew.
You're right.
What was the general feeling of that?
Well, I can't remember that. All I remembered is one road trip I roomed with Harmon Killebrew. And that's all I know. That's all I can remember. So I don't remember. I you know, it was one of those deals where he's an 18-year-old kid coming in and he had a lot of power, and I remember that. But I don't recall too much about it. I know he didn't stay out very long. He went back to Chattanooga, I think, or wherever.
As soon as he could, yeah. Okay, that's just something that crossed my mind. What happened after you left the Giants and before you went to Kansas City?
55, 56. I came down to Minneapolis, you know. I was sent down here, and I played... You know, 56, I was option down, and I played here 56, 57, and then traded to the Detroit organization and went to Charleston 58 with Detroit, and then Kansas City drafted me.
But you had a good year there, Kansas City, the first year.
I did pretty well, yeah. I didn't start to play regular until late maybe in the season or something. I played regular, and I did pretty good. And I was getting around to near the tail end of things then. And the next year, I didn't get a chance to play much, and the Yankees bought me, and I went to Richmond and finished out my career there.
When did you start becoming a coach and a manager?
I got a shot in Richmond. I wish I could remember names now, but a guy that was connected with the San Francisco 49ers was also connected with the Richmond Ball Club. I can't think of his name. Well, he was the general manager of the business manager of Richmond. He asked me, would I be interested in managing if I didn't play anymore, and I said, yes, I would be. And so next year I got shot at I managed Greensboro, the Carolinas.
Uh-huh.
And that was that. That was the start of my managing career.
And you came back to the majors as a coach for the Senators?
Yeah, eventually, right. Ted Williams.
Yeah.
Spring training. Ted Williams gave me the job.
And you've been managing or coaching then for 30 years.
No, oh, that's probably right, yeah. That's right. I played third parts of 13, I think, and then... You're right, so it's been about 30 years, yeah.
And you enjoy it?
Pardon?
Do you enjoy it? Obviously, if you're doing it.
I enjoy it?
Yeah.
You bet.
Especially the last year.
You're right. Obviously, yeah, I do. I still do. I still get a big thrill out of winning ball games, you know, the club being on a club that wins.
Yeah.
Of course, we had that kind of year this year.
Well, you sure did. Have you ever had any desire to manage in the major leagues?
At one time I did, and then as things worked out, I had a AAA. I managed 2 years in AAA, and we didn't win enough. I was with the Washington organization, and I was probably the same age as a lot of my players. I imagine I had Hector Lopez. Does that ring a bell?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, and Gene Freeze, and I had some old timers, and we did all right, and we had a good time, but we didn't win many ball games. And I think to be successful. you got to be successful at the AAA level, I think, to get a shot at the major leagues. And
I think so.
I gave up on that. I decided to hell with it. I enjoyed working with young kids. I really enjoyed managing in the minor leagues, especially the lower minors, because I think I was good at working with young kids, and I still am, in fact. So.
That's the reputation you have. They like you, and you like them, from what I understand.
I guess that's right.
Well, you spent a good bit of time in both leagues. Who was the best hitter or the best player you saw?
No question, Willie Mays.
Yeah.
All around, Willie Mays. No question. Of course, Ted Williams, was the greatest hitter I ever saw. He might have been the greatest hitter ever. So.
No.
But anyway, the guy I played with, Willie Mays, the Giants, you know, for not for very long, but he could do it all and do it all well.
I'll tell you a story, which I'm interviewing you, but I'm going to tell you something here. Back in 1959, I was 18 years old. I was a pitcher, and I was invited to come up to Seal Stadium. And who was that? Bill Posedel was a pitching coach, and he was going to look at me. And I went up there, and I went down the dressing room, and they gave me a uniform to put on, told me to go up on the field. As I walked out, the phone rang. Dusty Rhodes had just been called back. He answered it, and it was for Mays, and he called Mays over the phone. And as I was walking out, Mays walked by me, and I bumped into him. And I was about 4 inches taller than him and probably 30 pounds heavier. And I remember thinking, geez, he doesn't look like much. How come he's so good? I was not impressed by it. It's the first time I'd ever seen the man other than from in the stands watching him on the ball field. And he did not impress me at all, but then I went out and watched the game later, and he did everything. He was amazing.
Yes, he was. He was, had great instincts, base running, and, you know, he could just, he was just an outstanding ball player in every phase of the game, so.
Mm-hmm. He sure was. Best pitcher you saw?
Well, best, that's tough. I say, you know, so damn many of them. I guess the guy that I remember being fastest, the guy that threw the ball hardest for me when I played, and that's about the easiest way I can say it, would be Allie Reynolds of the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
Just the one particular game I remember that he was, that his ball got by me so fast, and I was a pretty good fastball hitter. I could get around, but yeah, of course there were a lot of great pitchers back then too. But that stands out. Clem LeBine had the best curveball I ever saw, but you know, I guess that would be it.
Reynolds, I guess, was, from what I hear, is that when he got to the Yankees, he became an outstanding pitcher. I guess he was had some time on him at that point in his career.
Yeah, I'm sure he did. I faced Feller, and when he was at the end of his career, and I faced Koufax in spring training, and so I never saw him during the regular season. But, you know, no question, he had to be one of the old-timers.
Sure. Who was the best manager? You saw an awful lot of them coaching and playing for so long.
Best manager? Wow, I see. I played for Frankie Frisch. He was a lot of fun. He had a bad ball club, but it was fun playing for him. I played for Charlie Dresson. He was an asshole from way back.
I've played for a lot of people.
He's dead now, but I thought that he was lousy. He didn't know how to handle the guys on the bench. And, you know, he put those great nine out there every day, and my grandmother could have managed what he put on the field.
Yes.
But that's Charlie Dresson. And Bucky Harris is older, and when I played for Bucky, great guy, but he really didn't, I don't remember him doing much, except sitting on a bench and back in the corner. And so I guess DeRocher, I played for DeRocher, and DeRocher just came off in 1954 when he won it all, and I played there in 55, and we were in third place and stayed there, and I think he kind of lost interest, but he was a guy that let you play, and I appreciated him for that.
Mm-hmm.
56, 57. I mean, it's Kansas City. They couldn't impress me too much because I don't even remember who was managing there.
Was it Harry Kraft?
Coaching, you know, Harry Kraft was, yeah, that's right. Harry Kraft was one of them. Coaching, I was impressed with Don Zimmer. Maybe that's a surprise, but I coached for him a couple of years, and I liked Zim. I felt good that when he said, bet the house on today's game, I felt like we were going to win that game no matter what. More times than not, he was right.
Well, there doesn't seem to be much middle ground on him. The people either love him or don't like him at all.
That's what I understand. I understand that. I just thought that he did a good job. I'll tell you, the guy we got here is about as sound as anybody could be at managing. Kelly?
Yep.
He really is. He doesn't miss a trick. He really doesn't. I've been very impressed. he just knows the game, and he's kind of an oddball, maybe, in dealing with the press and some of the things he says and so on. But, well, when it comes to the bell rings and he crosses the lines, you know, he runs the game first class.
He certainly seems to be, just from, it's awful hard to observe from a distance, but from the results he's getting and the performance out of the players, he must know something. So which one's top, do you think?
Tops?
Yeah, the best one of the bunch.
Oh, God, it's tough. It really is tough. When I was playing, I wasn't considering too much about managing. I just know who I liked and everything. But that's a tough question for me. Ted Williams was underrated. He handled pitching better than a lot of people gave him credit for. He didn't know, he told me, I coached third base for him, he says, I don't know that part of the game. He says, I know the little game between the pitcher and the hitter, and he did. So he let me do what I wanted to do at third, but I tell you, I thought he did a great job with our pitching over there. Of course, he lost a little interest as he went along. I don't really have one. Like I said, I don't have one guy that stands out. I've been with Kelly now for 6 years, and I think he's one hell of a manager, and probably he'll be a great one before he's done, but that's about all I can say on it.
Okay. Well, it's not necessary to answer everything I ask, so that's fine. Is there one game in your career, from any point of view, whether as a player, as a coach, as a manager, that stands out in your mind as maybe the best game you had or the biggest thrill that you had in the time you've been in the game?
Okay. I never was on a winning ball club in the major leagues as a player. I never made that. I was there with Brooklyn in 1951 when Thompson hit the home run, but again, I was a bench man then, and so it was a shock to lose a game like we lost it, but it wasn't anything that really knocked me for a loop or anything, because, I wasn't playing that much. I didn't have a lot of big games myself. If we'd been on a winner, I've got my biggest thrill probably was coaching for Ted Williams, especially the first year. You know, coming from the minor leagues, managing the minor leagues for seems like forever, and then getting a shot with Ted. So maybe just coaching for Ted Williams, especially in 1969, the first year, was probably about as big a thrill as I've ever had in baseball, outside of maybe, being on two world championship teams here.
Right. Okay, you've been in baseball for, 45 years almost now.
Not quite, but
right at it. Did you say souvenirs along the way?
No, I don't. I don't have any souvenirs.
No kidding.
The only thing I got here, souvenir-wise, I've got a few pictures, and I have a couple, maybe two or three pictures of my favorite pictures, but that's about all. I got a picture that was when I was with the Dodgers of all times. Like I said, I didn't play much, but I got a base hit against the Cardinals in Ebbets Field to win a ball game in the ninth inning. They got a picture of me coming off the field, the game's over, and Jackie Robinson and Pee Wee Reese are extending their hands to shake my hand as I came off the field. And I have that picture, and you got, two pretty good ball players in there.
Yeah.
Robinson and Reese, and so that's one of my favorite pictures.
I bet it is. What about fan mail? Do you get fan mail? Much fan mail?
Yeah, I still get them. I get a half dozen letters a week, probably.
No kidding.
Yeah. Being in a series helps. They see your picture and hear your name, so that helps. But I've been getting them right along ever since I've been coaching. They, for one reason or another, they as card collectors now, they know everybody.
So
it's not surprising.
From people who remember you, or from people who remember you from your playing days, or from people who are familiar with you now as a coach?
Well, I think some of it is remembering his playing days, but a lot of it is just looking in the book and seeing my name down there, and they say, well, let's see if I can get this guy.
I think that's probably a whole lot of it. Well, I'll tell you one thing. The result of this interview, when it appears, your fan mail will increase for a period of 2 or 3 weeks. One fellow, you remember Gale Harris? I think you may have played with him.
Oh, sure.
He said that the first 3 weeks after I interviewed him, or after it appeared in print, he received approximately 100 autograph requests. And normally he said he got about like you, about 5 or 6 a week.
Hey, let me tell you a quick story about Gale Harris.
All right,
you got time?
Sure.
There's a guy by the name of Bud Daly. Remember him?
Oh, yes.
Left-hand pitcher with a crooked arm.
Right.
He had a crippled arm.
Born that way, wasn't he?
Pardon?
Wasn't he born that way?
I think so, yeah. Left-hand pitcher anyway. His right arm was crippled. this is not maybe not well, but I played with Gale one day in Indianapolis when we were both with Minneapolis. And Bud Daly was with Indianapolis, and he struck him out. Then Harris came back to the bench, and he couldn't stand it. He got so mad. He got up in front of the dugout, and he was calling, Bud Berry, you crooked arm son of a bitch, you'll never strike me out again. I'll never forget that. Isn't that funny how some things stick in? That's all I got.
Okay. If things like that do stick with you for some reason, they'll come back when something's mentioned.
Well, I felt.
Back over your I guess, playing career, do you have any regrets about anything that happened? I mean, you call somebody and name something.
I sure do. I wish I should have been a better hitter. You know, I'm pretty intelligent. I consider myself intelligent. And, I got enough balls, and yet I didn't hit it like I should have. Like I said, near the end of my career, I began to realize what it took to hit, you know. And I just wish that I had somebody that I could work with somewhere along my career, because I should have been a much better hitter. And that's my biggest regret. I ended up, you know, like I said, I was one hell of a fielder the last few years of my career. I could do it all out there and probably made the double play better than anybody ever made it.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I had a couple guys tell me that. But that was my biggest regret. I had a .240 lifetime batting average, and I was a much better hitter. I should have been a much better hitter than that, but it turned out. But otherwise, how lucky can you be? You got two world championship teams, and when you're in your 60s, you can't hardly beat that.
No, that's for sure. I used to keep a chart on my favorite players. Every day I'd go through the box scores, and I'd write down what they did, and then I'd compare it on Sunday when all the figures were in there. Excuse me. And if the Sunday paper was wrong, did not agree with me, the Sunday paper must have been wrong because I knew I had it right. And you were very, very frustrating because for several years, first of all, you didn't play enough for me to keep good track of you, and then you didn't have enough at-bats to appear in the Sunday paper. And you used to frustrate the dickens out of me. But you finally got to
multiply that by about 50 and all,
Well, when you got to Washington, I could keep track of you because you did appear every Sunday that way. Would you go back and do this all again?
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure. Are you kidding? Of course. I said that I was on I was interviewed here, and I had a little special, and in fact, I got the tape from it, and I said in that thing, boy, I mean, I think about it, how lucky can you be? I mean, how many guys would like to be in baseball their whole life, and that's what I've been.
Oh, yeah.
And got a chance to do it just about everything, you know, and so no question I'd do it over again in a hurry.
Great. That's great. I like to hear that. What does the future hold?
Well, I'm going to stick around. As long as I can throw batting practice, I figure I got a shot to stick around here because the coaches got to throw batting practice nowadays, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, my arm's hung in there pretty good. And I work out all winter long. I'll start in after Christmas and go down to the university's field house down there and start throwing, get my arm in shape, and go from there. I'm very thankful that I've been healthy. And so as long as the club keeps winning, they don't fire coaches too often when you win, you know.
That's right.
If they play good, I got a shot to stick around for a couple more years.
Well, keep them going. You're college educated, but have you ever had a need to use your college education?
Well, I did some teaching in the off season, back in 63, 64, something along, when I was managing in the minor leagues, and I needed some dough, so that's the reason I did it. I taught a history class in Otsego, Michigan, yeah,
mm-hmm.
And I did some substitute teaching, but that's the only time I've done any. I thought I wanted to be a coach when I was younger. I wanted to coach and teach because I just thought that was the way I was going to do it. Baseball came along and changed that.
Well, I've got a son who's 19. He's in college right now, and he would love to have a career that you're having.
Yeah, well, geez. What's he doing? Is he an athlete?
Yeah, I'll brag about him. He's the number one pitcher on his team. He's a left-hander.
No kidding.
And
were you left-handed?
No, I was right-handed, unfortunately.
Where did you play? You played professionally?
No, I didn't. I did not get a contract. I was scouted by three or four teams and talked to, and then the Giants invited me to come up and take a look at me, but nobody ever signed me.
So what did you do?
I'm a veterinarian.
That's right, okay.
Yeah.
I know that. Now.
Yeah.
That was a question about animals.
Well, my wife likes animals. My wife loves animals, and she said she didn't like, she's my proofreader, and she doesn't like to read all this baseball nonsense, so she wanted me to ask you something that she liked. Okay, that's pretty much it. Do you want to see this before I send it to the magazine?
No, I mean, I just don't like to be misquoted.
Right,
I
don't.
I think you probably can handle that. No, it's not necessary.
Okay, well, I always asked, and most of the guys do because they don't want to be misquoted, and I sure don't want to misquote anybody, but I won't misquote you. But if you'd like to see it, I'll be very happy to send you a copy before I send it in.
Well, that'd be great.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay, it'll take me probably 4 or 5 days to get this thing organized and piped up and rearranged and stuff, but I'll send it up to you to get your approval before I submit it.
Unless I have any big objections to it, hell, I don't...
copies would you like?
Well, just give me 671. It's plenty, and, you know, I can go from there.
Okay. Well, they've sent out, well, Larry Jansen has something like 400 kids, and he wanted one for each kid. And I don't know how many it was, but I think,
you know, a couple copies would do it for me.
Okay.
I got a sister who is a baseball nut, and she probably would appreciate something.
Okay, good. We'll send you two or three. But there's usually a lag phase of 3 or 4 months from the time I submit something until it appears. So it'll probably end up being sometime in the spring, something like that.
All right, fine.
Okay, Wayne, thank you very much. I really appreciate
fine,
this.
Thank you. And nice talking to you.
I really enjoyed
talking to somebody who's really a baseball man, you know, and it's interesting to do that because, you know, I know a lot of guys that just bullshit you on baseball, but... So, I appreciate it.
Well,
good luck to you.
Thank you.
Tell your wife we take good care of the dog.
I sure will. And I'll get this thing to you in a few days.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. Good night.